Welcome to the message podcast of Werribee Baptist Church, a vibrant church located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
This morning we continue with our sermon series called The Unshakable Faith. And kids, once again, if you're going to decide to stay tuned and listen to my sermon this morning, you might be wondering, what is unshakable faith? Well, let me explain to you. I've got two bottles that I picked up from the shop this morning. If you pay attention very carefully, and parents, you might need to keep an eye on children. I used to do study chemists, so it's been 30 plus years, and I've never tried the experiment for a long, long time. So I just want to warn you. So two bottles, I'm going to open one at a time. And kids, I want you to pay attention and see what happens when I shake the bottle. Okay? Are you watching me? Look very, very carefully and see what is going to happen. Are you watching? Be careful, hold on tight, he might do something. Oh. Something just happened. There's a lot of bubble fizzy stuff, and it's just about to overflow. This reminds us that life, fear, anxiety, worry, these things can really affect us to a point that it feels like life is being shaken, and it's overflow, and it's overwhelmed with sadness and fear and worry more, that we tend to lose our faith. Now, what's a cane? Because here is the second bottle. Look alike, same amount, from the same shop, same price. And then look, because I'm going to shake it even harder. You better watch out, parents, because it might explode. I haven't done this for a long, long time. You watching? My granddaughter, Fataya, I love you. Dad, hold on. You watch. Oh. What happened? Nothing happened. And I shake it even harder and harder. Same bottle, same shop. This is what happens when Jesus is in our life. That no matter what, how much fear, anxiety, things will impact our life will continue to be as steady as that bottle. And no matter how much you try to shake your faith and our belief in God, it's remain unshakable. Unshakable faith. Kids, what's the lesson? The lesson is really this. Even a small faith, when it's as small as tiny, it can still be powerful. You know, no matter how young you are, it doesn't mean your faith can't be as powerful. Last week, we had little Mary, age 11. God called her. She gave her life to the Lord. And her tiny little faith became a powerful staff that she followed Christ. It doesn't matter how old you are, you just made a decision for Christ. Our faith doesn't depend on our strength. It depends on God. When God calls you as he did to Mary, we just respond and then we follow. It doesn't depend on you, on your strength. It doesn't depend on your parents or your teachers or anyone else. It's entirely on God. Trusting in God continually help us never to let go on our faith, always remain faithful no matter what happened. And that is our prayer for you kids this year, that your faith will remain steady and strong. Our prayer for Mary and also for you as well. And just as the reaction in a jar is so amazing and exciting, our faith can be exciting and can be as powerful as well. Now that they're grown up, if you didn't get to watch our last message last week that Pastor Stan preached to kick off our series, I encourage you to go to our YouTube channels, our social platforms, and watch them there, and like and then share if you can. Galileo was an Italian scientist, and he was known for his persuasive and precise findings in the field of experimental science, which made him the father of modern astronomy and also the father of physics. Just like Galileo, Abraham is known in the history of mankind, recorded in the Bible, well long before Galileo was born, as the father of faith. Why was it so? Because Abraham had a discovery of what an unshakable faith looks like, something that is beyond Galileo's scientific experimental. Abraham, the father of faith, happened to go on a blindfold treasure hunt, instructed by God to explore something that was beyond his and our human experience, something bigger than what we can ever imagine. In the Bible, it started with an act of obedience, response to God's initial call to leave his homeland. Act without obedience will not go to work. It's not going to work. And go without a motivation will only take you so far. Abraham's obedience responded to God's call. Let's look at the book of Hebrews. And here's what it says, chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance. So he was told, go to that place that you receive an inheritance. He obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. What is your natural response? If you wake up one day, you go to work, and your boss calls you to his office, and he says, next month, I want you to pack your bag. I want you to leave. You got a 10-year project. I want you to go to the countryside in Western Australia, establish and expand our business and grow our business and get a bonus. And you need to do that in 1 month. Get ready to go. What would be your next response? Well, I am sure that you will have tons of questions to ask and conditions to determine if you're going to accept it or not. I would do that as well. But can you just imagine Abraham being asked to pack up his bag, leave his family and friends and the community, and to go to a foreign place that doesn't know how to get there, what to do, in order to get a bonus? Maybe he's excited about the bonus, but to go to a foreign place, probably a lot of questions for you and I if that was me. When you think about it, you kind of wonder about the character of God, how brutal, how mean, and how unfair his command can be if we are honest with ourselves. We all know what it's like to go through changes, from moving houses to moving school to moving jobs, even to move churches. I've been a pastor for 23 years, and this is my fourth churches. And I know them well. My family knows what's it like to move from place to place. The sacrifice, the pain of having to say goodbye to start something new. It's not an easy and always, not always a good experience. You know, if that is hard enough, I often imagine moving overseas. I've been blessed to talk to so many people who moved here from Australia, even to Australia recently for their home country. And just to hear them share about their struggle, what it means to be away from their family. But I'm always amazed by their bravery and strength to make a decision to get up and fly many, many hours across the ocean to get to this place. Abraham was asked to leave, but he wasn't given a clear instruction. All he was given is a ticket, an itinerary that say, here is your ticket. Everything else is all sorted when you get down there. When you get there, it's all planned. There was all. You know, I don't know about you, but if I'm not clear about where I go, I'm more likely to keep asking questions. I need more clarity, maybe to a point that I might refuse to go, especially if I go somewhere I have no idea and if it's out of my comfort zone. When Abraham was given a call to go, he went. Unshakable faith is when we respond immediately without asking, questioning God. A temptation is often about questioning God's plan. We look for clarity. We look for clear signs. We look for easier solutions that meet our needs, our standard, our terms, our expectation. And if it doesn't, we are likely to refuse, we ignore, or we delay. The Bible says Abraham obeyed and he went. He heard the call and responded, not with lots of questions, but he came to a point he acted in obedience, even though he was unsure of the detail. He was willing to step into the unknown like a blind man finding his way in the dark. In May 2005, I was on a plane to Shreveport in the state of Louisiana, and I organized for someone to pick me up at the airport. They thinking that I know what I was doing. Anyway, I was on number of hours, number of planes, number of airports, and my last flight to the state of Louisiana. I happened to sit next to somebody, and he asked me where I go, and I told him, go to Shreveport. And long story short, I found out it's 7-8 hours drive from Louis Armstrong Airport to Shreveport. It was the last flight, and when I got there, I was so afraid, and I was thinking of staying in the airport, but I was told that there was a shooting not long ago, and I just can't sleep because the pain of making a mistake. I thought it's just like Melbourne and Geelong or Bendigo. It's just that close. And so I ended up and did something silly. I decided to hire a car. I've never driven on the left side in America. And this is in the middle of the night. I decided to go hire a car. And I thought, if I can just follow the whatever car, and oh, it's that time of the night, it's not going to be that busy. And in fact, it was quiet. But I bought lollies, I bought everything, you know, to keep me going. And off I went, and I decided, oh, I'm going to call my wife to pray. And I made a mistake. Another mistake, because she was crying. Get the kids up, and they were worried. I said, why did I call her? By the grace of God, I finally got there. But driving it nowhere in the dark, have no idea whether I'm going south or east or west, where I'm going. But by the grace of God, it got me there in the morning. Going into this year is not a stupid idea as I did. But it can be a scary thing for some. Anxious for what could be ahead, going into the unknown, hoping that we won't be interrupted by unprecedented circumstances, that we're not going to be, you know, disappointed with sickness and breakup and failure and anything else. We might again fail to see the fulfilled promise we didn't get to see last year. And yet Abraham keep his eye on God, putting his trust in his promise despite the lack of visible evidences. Getting to the unknown destination, we don't see them until you arrive. What you see is the journey towards the promised land and living in the tension between the promise and the fulfillment can be difficult and challenging. Oswald Chambers, a Scottish Baptist pastor and evangelist, the author of The Utmost for His Highest, he said this, it was interesting. Faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading it. Isn't that wonderful? Knowing the one who lead will overweigh the fear of the unknown. And as we enter this new year, going into the unknown, the question is, do you really know the one who is going ahead of us, preparing the way and calling us to follow him? I am wondering, what is your calling going to be this year? Where is God calling you to do it again, the same thing with the same passion and same joy? Or whether to let go and make a change and do something new? Or maybe step up and step out of your comfort zone. Maybe to increase your faith by increasing your commitment. Maybe to go deep and take a risk. Maybe to slow down and wait on him, or to trust him more. And God is calling you into something this year. Are you ready to obey? and to trust the one who's leading you there. Abraham obeyed, responded, decided to go, but he came to a point where he realized that obedience and respond is probably not enough. He needs to sustain and maintain his faith, as getting to the promised land can be so challenging and difficult. It will be full of temptation, and in order to keep his faith, hope up and high, he needed to anchor his faith on persevering in waiting on God's promise. And sometimes we have to do that. So in verse 10, it says, when circumstances seem impossible, Abraham maintained a steadfast faith. He did not waver at the promise of God through his unbelief, but was strengthening in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. You see, in this story, Abraham waited for decades for the promised child. You know the story. Yet their faith grew stronger rather than weaker over time. And this teaches us that we ought to focus on God's faithfulness rather than our circumstances. You know, once we take our eyes off from God's faithfulness, what we see is our circumstance that we no longer wait on God. Instead, we wait on people. We wait on the results. We wait for the phone call, and when we haven't heard a reply, we get anxious, we become impatient, and we react like that little bottle. By the way, this is lemon Sprite. Kids, it's not healthy. It's not good. In case you wonder, this is water. It's the best good health is done. I shared this before, how I waited on inquiry to apply to Monash, to their PhD program in health science, and I waited, they had no reply, and I was get worried and anxious about it. I decided to keep calling, and they finally answered the call, and I was excited until they say, but unfortunately, you're not accepted, you're not good enough. What would you do in those scenarios? Well, a lot of options. Perhaps we just look for something less, look for some university that are not as high a grade, or maybe go to TAFE or go to a different school or change completely. I decided to go the other way around. It was a foolish decision, but I made it. So I went the other way. I thought, I'm going to give a shot at the best top university, Melbourne Uni, and just give it a try and see how I go. And I did. And this time, it's different. I decided to wait on God. I couldn't be bothered to go to the phone or check the email. I just left it there. And I keep praying, keep trusting God until about a few months later, my supervisor rang and said, congratulations, got accepted. Folks, I'm not saying that you should do silly things what I did, thinking that when you do that, that God is going to open door. What I'm saying is to have an unshakable faith may mean that we have to wait on God and let God open or shut. We sometimes rush to it and then close or thinking it open when God is waiting on us to wait on Him. And in spite of the outcome, our faith in God remains strong because it's not impacted by the circumstances, whether it's open or closed. So what happens when you are in that waiting zone, when you are in that waiting period and time frame? First, the Bible says Abraham's faith grew from strength to strength. And secondly, he continued to give glory to God even when the promises are delayed. I know many people, including some close friends and even family, who have walked away from God, some stopped attending church. Others changed career and others stopped believing completely due to circumstances. I know a very close friend who left his wife, left his family because of a disabled child that they had. Disappointing at God, angry at God, to a point he completely left his faith entirely. But I also know many others who continue to serve God in spite of challenges, because they remain fully convinced of God's power to fulfill His word. He said, do not be afraid. I will be with you. I will fulfill my promise in you. The Bible says Abraham remained fully convinced of God's promise. When we find ourselves in a waiting period between the promise and the fulfillment, we can start to play some games in our mind. First, we ignore it and hope for the best. We can start to look for alternative. We can give up and wish we didn't rely on God. We can get so impatient and get so stressed and fired up. The Bible says Abraham remained fully convinced of God. To put it in another word, he was calm and he was confident in his faith that God will deliver what he promised to deliver. The Bible didn't say that the angel appeared to him like it did to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. No, he was confident when God first spoke to him years ago that God's able, God will do it. God's God, God is faithful. In Romans 4, Paul puts it this way, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith and he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted as righteousness, the father of faith. Maybe some of you were asked the question, but how do you grow in faith when you're in the dark days? Well, you grow in faith by staying convinced that your God is able to do what he has promised. And as you trust day in and day out, your confidence will grow. He's going to show himself faithful. He's able to do all that he promised. And you will grow strong in faith and God will receive the glory as Abraham did. And as you trust him, he's able to do that. That's why his faith was counted as righteousness. He was the father of unshakable faith. And maybe for us as we're going into this year, whatever the promise for you, whatever the calling of God in your life, whatever your mission, whatever the challenge that comes your way, we enter this new year with full of confidence. And that confidence should become the music of the soul, should become the passion of your heart, the power of the mind, the motivation to serve and to give. May it become the lock that keep your faith unshakable, unmovable. And folks, if you're not excited, if you're not excited, I don't know what is wrong with you. I really don't know. Abraham obeyed and responded to the call. He leaned and anchored his life on persevering while waiting on God. And the last thing that holds his faith together, not movable, if moving to a foreign country, leaving family behind, going to unknown, waiting for a long time, tired and worn, if that is hard enough, Abraham was yet to face another extreme circumstance where his faith is going to be tested to the extreme. Here we read, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, on whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Abraham trusted God. His character, even when his command seemed contradictory. Now, trust God. What is God's character? What do we find in this story? What is contradictory about this situation? Well, God said to him, even though you're older age, I'm going to do some miracle. Old age, here's Sarah, had a baby. Isaac came. And Abraham said, yes! Here's my son. He's going to multiply and have a lot of offspring. You know, like the uncountable stars in the sky. He's going to have that many grandchildren for Abraham. And he was super excited, probably excited than me. We got married in 1991. We had our first child. We had a daughter. I was super excited, but I was still waiting. Now, this is great, but I need a son. I'm glad he's gone outside. I need a son because I want the matahal to continue on. And so we waited, and then 2 years later, we had a son. And I was super excited, was full of joy, but then I had to wait still because I'm not sure whether he can talk to a girl. just not sure whether he'll get married or any girl will like him. Then finally he got in touch while he was in the state and said, hey, here's the girl. I started to get excited and was worried. Oh, here it comes. And of course, Melanie got pregnant and a child. And then they called from the hospital, oh, it's a girl. Oh, are they going to have another one? They better hurry up. This is during COVID. 1 year later, the second child come. Guess what? It's a boy. The first one, I was half excited, but they named it after Anne. I said, oh, who care? But this time, my son got home, and then I was just sitting there full of joy. And he said, Dad, we named him Little Enoke. I was crying and shook. Never shook hard like that. Because, you know, a son. Now the name's going to go on. I might not live to see it, but hey, the following year, we have another one, and it was another boy. And if you see my grandchildren, they're handsome. Because in my head, I think the first one you're married, you'll probably have 12 children, 10 boys, 2 girls. We still need some ladies. And then my other son, Dale Jr., he's so handsome, even more, that I think you'll have 14 kids, 14 boys. And you when you work out 26 boys, them at the how, I reckon our offspring is going to be more than Abraham. Awesome. Abraham was so excited until the Lord say, I want you to take your son to the mountain, start up a fire, burn offering your son. Wow. Abraham, I said, thought, no way, Lord, not this. It doesn't make sense, Lord. That is a contradiction to your promise. How can I have many offspring without my son? How can you bring him back to life? Are you going to do one more miracle by just bringing a son just like that out of your word instead? And sometimes that is how we deal with God. We start to work on the basis of an arrangement, an agreement that is based on our terms and not God. August 2012, I went to take my son to the States and basketball scholarship, and it was all okay until I got there. Our last few days, just about to say goodbye, and it was the hardest moment that I weep so hard when I had to hug my son. It suddenly clicked in my head, what am I doing? It's almost like I sacrificed him. I left and I parked him and turned, I couldn't handle it, turn to the side of the road and cry and lament, God, why did you allow this to happen? Did I let him go? It's so far, and here I am ready to go back and leave my son here. It's my only son. I was weeping and crying. And I got back here and I said, Lord, it's yours. I'm going to trust you that he's going to be okay. You're going to look after him. Coming back to Australia, I had to learn to trust him. But God restored a relationship. He brought back a blessing, a woman. He married. He blessed us with 3 children. I was put to test. Abraham was put to test. And the lesson that we learned from Abraham is that unshakable faith demands the belief that God can resurrect and restore what we surrender to him. It is the belief that God can do the impossible by reversing what seems irreversible in the eyes of human minds. If God is able to raise his son from the dead and walk on water and calm the storm and turn water into wine, then he is the God to whom we rest our faith in. Yesterday morning, happened to be at our Saturday Wow. If you haven't remember, I want to remind you, Saturday morning at the Aqua Pools, we do our Saturday Wow, walking on water. That means we go to the pool and do exercise. Elizabeth was there. And after we had a conversation, we just talk about health, 8 to 9, and sorry, do a little bit of promo. Come on Saturday morning, let's do swimming. Then we come and have coffee and talk about health. And see, we were talking about the challenge that why is it hard for us to look after our health as the temple of the Holy Spirit? And she made a comment, sometimes we are afraid to declare that God is able. How many times do we firmly declare and believe that God is able, we kind of shy away. Yeah, I think he might. And he might. Perhaps we are not bold enough to be confident to make the declaration. And I declare again, it was God was the reason for my own physical transformation. It was my faith in him that nothing is impossible. And if God has made the change in your life in the past, he will do it again. And maybe doing even more. All we ask to do according to Abraham is to obey God promptly and fully, not holding back. In action, our call is to commit fully, not partially, not just some. To obey promptly, not just occasionally or delay. That is what surrender looks like when we give fully to God our attention, our focus, and our priorities, our failures, and our weaknesses, and our burdens, our needs, our desire, and our hope, our relationship, our family, our ministry, everything. When we surrender it all and hold nothing back, our faith will remain unshakable. Maybe some of you are thinking, but Pastor, it works for Abraham. My father died. He didn't see the fulfillment. How do you know will I ever live to see the promise fulfilled in my life? I'm still waiting, and I might not get to see it. If that is the case, why bother to dream and care about it? Listen to the word of God in Hebrews 11. All these people were still lying by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and only welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreign and strangers on earth. What does that say to me? I'm going to skip my note here. What does that speak into to us? What is the application? It's about, firstly, maintain a healthy biblical perspective. It's about remembering that God's promise may not always be fulfilled immediately or in your lifetime, but remain steadfast in believing. You know, I am today living the fulfillment of my grandparents. I know that because my parents told me. My father, my grandfather was a minister in the church, and we're told that he was always prayer, always that his children, grandchildren will do ministry. And I live today because of the fulfillment of their promise. He didn't get to see it. And maybe for you, you may be the catalyst of change for someone, your children or your family member. It could be the someone you disciple or probably a couple that you invested in that later on in life, you may not see it now, but they live the fulfillment of what God is doing in your life, in them. And it's also about cultivating a broken mentality. We're on a journey. We're here. This is a pass by life. Heaven is the ultimate place. It's a heavenly focus. We need to contend with life. And it's about embrace delayed gratification. We ought to be willing to forego immediate pleasure for the sake of future promises, as demonstrated by Abraham. And we need to live by conviction. Allow faith to be the evidence of seeing things not seen, shaping a decision and action based on God's promise rather than visible circumstances. So by living out and living, by applying and living out the faith of this faithful man in verse 13, we can develop an unshakable trust in God. Let me draw some application. Finally, as we face a new year filled with unknowns, we can cultivate Abraham-like unshakable faith by stepping out in obedience of God's leading even when the path is unclear. Don't be afraid. It's by focusing on God's promises rather than apparent obstacles. Don't take your eyes on him. Look full in his eyes, Jesus. Praising God and giving him glory, especially in difficult seasons, don't stop praying when life gets tough. Remain fully convinced of God's power and faithfulness. Don't believe in the lie that God is not able to deliver what he promised. Surrendering our most precious things to God, trusting his good purpose. And don't hold anything back from God. Give your all and your everything to him. I want to close with this story here. A man was tasked with an instruction of what to do by God. Day after day, he pushed with all his might, yet the rock remained unmoved. He was tired. He was worn out. He was frustrated, and he decided to go to God and lament, saying, God, I've been pushing day after day, week after week, months after months, not even an inch moved. What's going on? And God's response was so profound, remarkable. He said, I did not ask you to move the rock. I told you to push the rock. But because you are obedient and obey my instruction and keep pushing, I want to tell you something you don't know. This is who you are and you have become. You've seen this before. You become the rock. You see, your arm had become big and muscly from pushing. Your back is tight and even stronger, straighter. Your hands is hardened and solid. When I touched Andrew, when he held my hand, it's quite solid. His legs is massive. You didn't see his legs, but you can see it from here. Massive. The man had grown stronger through his persistent faith, even though he hadn't accomplished what he thought was the goal, to move the rock. Unshakable faith is not about moving mountains or rocks. That's God's job. But it's about continuing to push forward with trust, regardless of visible results. The psalmist reminds us that God is a rock and our salvation is my defense. I shall not be moved. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for reminding us of the faithfulness of Abraham to a God who is faithful to your promise. For some of us, Lord, as we listen, as we already embark in the new year, a lot's going on in our minds and our hearts about the circumstances that we are currently facing. Maybe some of us are in that place of pushing and pushing. Maybe some of us are not preparing to push at all, just giving up, are so tired. Maybe some of us are fearful of what the kind of rock that we are asked to push this coming year. Lord, we want to lay all our emotion, our minds, our heart, and our experience, and our expectation, and our hope. We want to lay it at your feet and ask God that he speaks deeply into our heart. May this year be a year that you're going to take us to a place that we have never imagined. Small or big, but we want God to be faithful. And Lord, we thank you for your word. Let us leave this place with confidence and joy, knowing we can live in obedience to a God who's always faithful and obedient to your command. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.